Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 8. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is introducing himself to us. Well, it was an introduction to John, but it is written now. So this is Jesus introducing himself to us. In verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. And this is the part I love the most. He adds, the Almighty. No one is bigger than him. No one is mightier than him. He is the Almighty. But to experience the almightiness of God, he always has to be the beginning. And it is you that makes him the beginning. You say, Lord, you are the beginning. Yeah? The Alpha and the Omega. That's Greek for A and Z. A couple of years ago when I read that, God told me, when you make me the Alpha and you commit the Omega, it says in between B and Y, I'll be the Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. He only referred to A and Z, but as long as you've made him the beginning, he takes over B all the way to Y, and he shows forth as the Almighty. Amen. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Well, that's the God I serve. He is my Almighty. He is the Almighty. And so, Father, I turn over the next couple of minutes, 30 to 40 minutes, into your hands. I release my vocal cords into your hand. I release my heart into your hands. I thank you, Lord. I believe I receive the grace to deliver the word you've given to me accurately, the same way I received it, to deliver it accurately to your people. And that your people also receive it accurately. I thank you, Lord. It's the entrance. It's the entrance of your word in the hearts of anyone that brings light and understanding. I ask, oh Lord, that the joint combination of light and understanding will put everybody under the sound of my voice in a position of supremacy, wherever and whatever situation they might be. That at the end of this message, everybody under the sound of my voice would have gone from wherever level of glory they may be to a higher level of glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A higher level of glory. No one leaves here the same way they came. Everybody leaves here with what they expect. Everybody leaves with what they expect. you owe no man. What we expect, we live with it. So Lord, I ask for the grace for everyone under the sound of my voice, for the expectation to soar high, for the expectation to grow big. There is nothing they expect today that will catch you by surprise. Lord, I give you praise. Everybody lives here, higher level of glory. And it is with joy. It's with joy that we place the devil exactly where he belongs, under our feet. So we render this hall a no-go area to you in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. The name Jesus is against you. And the word of God is against you. And therein we are victorious. We give you praise, O God. We give you all the praise, O God. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. a round of applause for. I did. He's multi-talented. I heard the message you preached, though. It's on the website. I heard it. Awesome way. Multi-talented. Talented on the keyboard and then talented to dish God's word. Yeah. Pastor Jimmy talked about growth. We are all pastors. All pastors. When the increase comes, we are ready. No shaking. Hallelujah. Amen. Divine health is yours. If you're bold and confident, say divine health is mine. Divine health is mine. Amen. We don't pray for healing. It's too late. We don't pray for it. Because in Isaiah 53, that was God prophesying. He says, by his stripes we are. So the moment they were placing those stripes on Jesus' body, healing became yours. We don't pray for healing. You don't pray for healing. You take it and you walk away. You say, it's mine. I receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to do a part. I want to do a part three to round things up. What God gave me was a three part to it. The first one was to let you know divine healing is a truth. By his stripes, you are healed. And then the second part was to give you the evidence. The evidence that divine health is yours is Jesus is Lord. And that's what we looked at. The last time I was here. And the final concluding part is, how do you make it a reality? And that's what we want to look at today. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. How do I make it? So what do I do on a daily basis to make divine health my reality? By the end of this message, that should be what you'll be taking home with you. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 reads, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And that's where I want to stop. Upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, The important phrase there is the word of his power, because it's the word of his power that he uses to uphold all things. So the question now is, what is the word of his power? I mean, if it was just the presence of a Bible, everybody should be upheld in perfect health, isn't it? Because we all have Bibles. if it's having a Bible under your pillow, that's it. Yeah, but that's not the word of his power. Amen. The word of his power is his word that you have believed. It's his word that you have meditated on. It's his word that has become a part of you. That is the word that's become a part of you. And then you release it. You declare it. You say it. Amen. That is the word of his power. And you can start by saying, divine health is mine. Your body is feeling strange, but it's a shadow. You're not considering that one yet. Divine health is mine. And you say it, and you say it, and you say it, and you keep saying it. I had a chance to hear Dodie Austin give her own testimony. She was given a few weeks to live. They said she had cancer. And she discovered 40 scriptures in the Bible that guarantees her health. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 6 o'clock she read. That's what she did. Didn't pray. 10 o'clock she read it, all those 40. And last night because the website I found gave those scriptures in Amplified. Me, I prefer New King James. I had to delete. It's 10 pages. She read it every 10 o'clock, every 2 o'clock. Every 6 o'clock. She's in her 90s now. Healed. And the most astounding thing is, when she got healed, she didn't stop. She did not stop. If you want to find her now, 10 o'clock, she's reading those same scriptures. She still does it till today. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock,
6 verse. So the word of his power is his word you have committed to your heart that you are continuously saying. You're continuously saying. So, Pastor, why? Because you create with the word you speak. You create with the word you speak. I believe I receive healing. You say divine health is mine. You keep saying it over and over and over and over again. Amen. Because you say, well, Pastor, why? I did not come up with the system. Pastor mentioned it slightly this morning. So Jesus said, whosoever says, you have to say. You have to say. Because then he ended up saying, you'll have whatsoever you say. So you have to say it. It has to become a part of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's make this slightly interactive. The three Bible scriptures we read today. How do I ask this question? there's a reason why I picked those three verses. If we cast our minds back to those verses, can anybody come up with a reason why I chose those three verses? I know it's a very, even though I'm a teacher, I've asked a very, very complicated question. Okay, I'll help you out. I chose those three verses to show that there's a direct link between sin and illness. Because in Isaiah 53, we read, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. In James, we read, if he had committed any sin, he shall be forgiven. And then in 1 Peter, we read, he bore my sins in his body. And God made me realize the foundation for divine health is righteousness. Knowing that he has dealt with sin. Sin is no longer sin. God does not even, you say sin, even what? What sin? He has dealt with sin. Because that's what Jesus did. Now, if Jesus did not raise from the dead and hell, say, aha, okay. Because he took our sin. then on the third day, what happened? He rose from the dead. So God has dealt with sin. Past, present, and future. Sin you ever committed, God has dealt with it. The foundation to divine health is knowing that you are the righteousness of God. 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 Because I thought about it. Now, when I'm feeling funny in my body, the first thing I think is, what did I do wrong? What did I eat wrong? See, that's... It's not what you did wrong. Because can righteousness produce wrong? No, it's not what you did wrong. It's that idiot. He has found an open door and he has tried. He's trying to put something in my body. No, it's not what you've done wrong. So the foundation is realizing I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I make it a part of you. We need two, we have to lose every consciousness of sin. Yes, you committed and you're not the first. We won't be the last. But God has made God has provided a solution for it. Take that, make it final. The same way he hung, they buried him, and he's raised up. Make it final. Make it, conclude it in your heart. There's no sin issue in the heart of God. Yeah, you may have committed sin. You may still be committing sin. But there's a provision for if you've committed an error. And there's a provision for that in 1 John. You go, sort it out. Yeah, and then go back. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. And that needs to become a confession. The point that... You feel anything strange in your body, you say, hey, come here. Take it now and get lost. That's the point where you need to get to. Now, I did mention when I came in February, divine health is not for everybody, even though God has made that provision for all of us. But to live in divine health, it's a choice you make. It's a choice you make. Say, ha, by his stripes. So before I was even born, divine healing was available for me. Divine health was available for me. I just need to make up my mind to walk in it. It's not for everybody. It's for those who make up their mind. Ha. As far as this body is concerned, it is the word of God that has the final say. The word of God has the final say. So you feel something strange in your body? Yes. Thank God. Glory be to God. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medical professionals. Glory be to God for them. Amen. But then you get to that, and you even get to that point. You get to a point just like, because it's a possibility, like Gloria Coppola now. Symptom has, they've given up on her. They don't even attempt coming near her body. She lives in the reality of divine health. Symptom has just, she doesn't feel symptom of it. She's in her, need to get right, either late 70s or early 80s, looking glorious. She's been practicing it. So it's two things. He tries to put it on your body and you remind him, ha, wrong address. You made a mistake. Beat him up, blew back, kick him away, send him off. Or you get to that point where the truth, the reality of the fact that you are the righteousness of God has overwhelmed your entirety. And it's just, I made mention of this illustration one of the times I came here. They're about to fight, but now they pour grease on you. How's that person going to grab any part of it? It's not possible. He tries to grab. Get to a point that, you know, he tries to throw, tries to get you, he tries to arrest you with something, and it just slides away. Because the revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus is alive in you. And it doesn't just happen. And the scripture God is giving me is, Jesus said, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. You have to become violent. You have to become violent. And all this, I've been working for so long. Well, so yes, it'll happen for my body. No, you can't have. That's part of being conscious of sin. Yes, you've been working so wrong address. By his stripes, I am healed. Get away where you're so, you are violent about it. You go, ha, I say, hey, you devil, where are you? Even, yes, they'll call you crazy, especially if you do it at work. But you did not consult them about divine health. It's just you realizing, this body, temple of the Holy Ghost. And there's some things I will not permit. I will not permit it. I will not permit it. Allowing, that's another thing. Well, I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, you be feeling it. You know that he's playing something or he's trying to put something in your body, but we wait. Well, I tend to wait until it has arrived. Then, no, from the you don't even wait for it to happen. That's honor. That's just honor because his word has said it. Can God break his word? No. He has backed the integrity in every word in your Bible with the body and blood of his son. So he can't break it. So honor is, you at the first inception, no. It's not what I've done wrong. It's not what I, and besides, Jesus said, it's not what goes into the body that defiles it. It's what comes out. You're feeling, oh, I feel I'm coming down with something. Hey, you've received it. You've received it. Pastor, Pastor, or God leaked it through Pastor. He says, if you don't doubt in your heart, it comes in the head first, but it comes in the heart when you, they didn't force you to say it, though. You are the one that said it. So that's when you received it. It's not what goes in. So stop thinking, oh God, what have I done wrong? Oh, you're feeling pain in your back. Oh God, what did I leave? No. Catch that thief. Say, ha, wrong. In wrong move. You've come to the wrong person. Now take it. Or come. You open Isaiah 53 to him and read it. Surely he has borne my grief and carried my sorrow. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. By his stripes. You read that prophecy when Isaiah prophesied it, but still, you touched him. Big mistake. So take this pain and get out. You need to get to that point where that becomes your reality. Yeah? Because you don't tolerate anything. I do appreciate. I appreciate. We've lived in this body. We are used to the five physical senses. We're used to what it tells us. But now it's time to live on your sixth sense. It's time to live on your sixth sense. And it's kind of crazy. It's silly. And I'll use this illustration. It was in 2009 that God opened my eyes to divine healing. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland, and the more I listened, I just said, it's biblically wrong to say, I am sick. That's for me. That's what I got from 2009. For you to catch me to say, I am sick, ha. And then this season, this lovely season here, the sense come, oh, sir, do you have hay fever? No. But sir, your eyes are red. You're sneezing, your nose is running. I don't have hay fever. You look at me, this man is crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. You will not catch me agree with you that my body has hay fever. Even though my body is showing all the signs and saying, no, you won't catch me. No way. No way. I'll rather agree with Jesus. By his stripes, I'm healed. Yes, I know the eyes are red, the nose is running, scratching at the back of the throat. Now you'll never catch me say, I have a, no, no way. No way. And that's what you need to learn to do. Because eventually, as Jesus said, you will have what you say. Eventually, you'll have it. Or, if you, like, you can combine that into, you can squeeze that in a couple of days. Just take some time off. Cancel everything. Go with your Bible only for 3 days. Say, Lord, okay, how exactly do we deal with this? How exactly get it off completely? Yeah. And then as long as you're going with it, because as long as you're going with a receptive heart, he'll show you exactly what to do. Because you've honored him enough to stop everything. The reason why I'm saying this is because I've heard Kenneth Copeland's testimony. He had a pain in his, I think in one of his knees. And Kenneth Copeland's way of dealing with any pain in his body is Isaiah 53 verse 5, Galatians 3:13, and Matthew 8:17. You confess it. He confessed it. The pain was there. Didn't go. He said, I believe I received healing. He did everything he knows how to do to receive healing in his body. Yeah, nothing was happening. Pain was there. So he canceled everything. Canceled all his meetings. Took his Bible. He has a cabin that he can just go and lock himself away in the woods. As he settled down, God said, coffee. You know, he continues whatever, reading the Bible, listening to healing tips. First thing when he woke up in the morning, next morning, coffee. He said, well, he continued doing his spiritual gymnastics. But eventually, he got to a point where, coffee, oh, you want me to stop coffee? And that was it. Because he was a pilot. He was so busy, he was flying Oral Roberts. So to keep himself going, he drinks coffee. And he says in that testimony, you know, you pick a teacup with this thing. Got the point. His finger was permanently most times like that because he drank a lot. He had his own personal flask of his coffee. He brews it. He drank a lot of coffee. And God was trying to get to him. That pain, I could have healed you the first time you believed you see, but then I knew you were going to go and make another brew of coffee. And of course, it's going to come back. So we had to get to a point where we and you had to get to understand that it is the coffee that you're drinking. And that was it. And he said, okay. He made a commitment never again to let coffee touch his tongue. And that was it. He believed, he received, and pain left. So yes, you can just shut everything down. It's called honor. The same way, thank you, Jesus. The same way you go and sit patiently waiting for your GP. You can do the same. Sit patiently with God's word. Sit patiently with God's word. Sit patiently with God's word. But to get to that point where it becomes your habit, to get to the point where relying on God's word becomes a habit, You need to meditate this. It needs to be a part of you. You need to get to the point where, once again, I'll refer to Kenneth Copeland. He said, he has confessed God's word to the point he had sore lips. I said, hey, Tunde, you haven't started yet. He said, he confessed the point. How can your lips become sore? He confessed God's word until his lips became sore. Now we're starting. Now we're talking. Yeah? Because that's where your victory is. That is where your victory is. And when you get to that point where you live in honor of God's word, if there's something you're habitually doing that is the reason why your body is being that way, he will reveal it to you. It's now your decision to stop it in honor to him and receive your healing. Or, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the foundation is realizing it's not anything you did wrong. I hope you know that. It's not anything you did wrong. The devil, he was created perfect. His name was Lucifer. But on his own, he decided, I'm going to take my own throne and put it above God's throne. He created what is called iniquity. Without iniquity, there can't be sickness or disease. Without iniquity. And that's what God sent Jesus to do, to eradicate the effects. Read Galatians 3. Read Galatians 3. Thank you, Jesus. Let us read Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I think we can start rounding up. So, Brother Tola, if you can help me, please. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Mr. O. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It reads, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became the curse to redeem you from the, he became the curse. He sucked the venom that's in the curse. He sucked the venom that's in iniquity. He eradicated it. He became a curse for you. Why? That the blessing is free of sorrow. There's no sorrow in the blessing. There's no sin in the blessing. There's nothing wrong in the blessing. He became a curse for you. He became a curse so that you could have the blessing. And in the blessing is health. In the blessing is health. In the blessing is health. In the blessing is everything you need. He created iniquity, but God sent Jesus to eradicate it. He became that. He became that curse so that you can have blessing. Amen. So that you can have blessing. And righteousness is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. So let's go to, I think it's, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Can you see the similarity between 2 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 3? He became a curse for you. God made him sin to be sin for you as well, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Has God made Jesus sin? Yes. In the same light, he has made you righteous. And this needs to become what you meditate on. Yes, at first it's going to feel
awkward. Righteous, me. But it's not what, you didn't do anything to attain that. That's just a free gift. And it became yours the day you said, Jesus, be my Lord. You don't grow in it. It's a gift. So the perfect package that you received the day you became born again is still there. You just need to become aware of it. See, somewhere else in Corinthians, they said, awake unto righteousness. It needs to become your reality. It needs to become your reality. You wake up in the morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The devil goes, where's your evidence? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Go and read it. Amen. Throughout the day, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Before you go to bed, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you're dreaming, you dream, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Keep meditating on it. Keep meditating on it. Say, Pastor, what's the point? It's the foundation to divine health. It's the foundation to divine health. And so hopefully one day, like a man of God, the story was said of this man of God that had such great faith. So he came to him and he said, why do you have, what's the source of this so great faith? I looked at them and said, I got born again. I got born again. That's the source of mine. But then I said, okay, actually what really happened was their family likes to host men of God whenever they come to the town. So there was this man of God they hosted. And as a young boy, he likes to go and, you know, just sit in the bedroom with the man of God. So with this man of God, this particular man of God, back then they didn't have wristwatches. They had the clocks that they flip open. So he watches man flip it open, and something was wrong. He just went, oh God, this is not right. Close it, open it back. Oh, thank you. God had sorted out his clock. And that was the source of this man's great faith. You get to the point where you realize, that pain is not right. You've confessed it so many times. You've developed sore lips saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That when anything wrong shows up, you know exactly what to do to get rid of it. Or get to that point where because it's possible, I hope you know that, you put 200 mile radius around you. Sick that you can't enter that. Talk less, my body. I put you. Blood covering you. Amen. You get to that point where, no. And then you live out Psalm 91. I hope you know you don't live here through sickness. You live when you're satisfied. Amen. You live when you're satisfied. He says, he will satisfy you with long life. So when you're ready, you say, Father, I'm ready. Let's go. Not that sickness will bully you out of this, but no. You've confessed it so many times. You know that you are the righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. Amen. You are the righteousness of God. You are awake and sensitive to that truth. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. Glory be to God. The righteousness of God. So that's it. You need to replace. You need to replace a consciousness of what you might have done wrong with the truth that you are the righteousness of God. And he takes care of you. He takes care of you. He takes care of you. And I have to end it with this. Because I think I mentioned it slightly the last time I was here. For some of us, it's also what we eat and how we live our lives. Because yes, it's excellent. It's excellent. It's excellent to confess God's words. It's excellent to meditate in God's word. It's excellent. Amen. But I hope you know long life can be as a result of how you feed this body, what you put into it, what you put into it. And so especially the way these big companies, the way what they put to preserve, to increase, to enlarge. Thought of it sometimes, let me just grow my own farm and eat vegetables only. Because that also, you need to be conscious of that. It's not everything. The packaging may be great, But read the label. My wife says, read the label. She says, that's why sometimes I go to supermarket. Sometimes it's true. She goes to the supermarket and then she just stands. I says, I'm going to see it. You want it, take it. You don't want it, move. But she stands there and she reads the label. Not because she's afraid that it's in honor. It's in honor. It's in honor of God. It's not everything. Read it. But okay, this one's not going to my body. This one's not going to my body. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There was one more thing. I know God will remind me. There was one more thing that he wanted me to say before we wrap it up. It would come. Glory be to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, the devil thought he could go with this one. I'll illustrate it with a testimony Gloria Copeland shared. Because she wrote a book on God wants us to live long and end strong. So she went around the world visiting people who are above 90 or above 100. I think it was in Japan or one country, one eastern country. Like that. Oh, no, it was in France. She found one in her hundreds. Still smoking. Smoke. Her body was not, skin did not even look, she was above 60. Smoking. What is the secret? And the lady says, I don't hold anything against anybody. I do not hold anything against anybody. The person that offended you has forgotten, but you are still carrying it. Why? Come on now. What's happening? Offense-free. Offense-free. The secret of a woman in her 100s still smoking. Because, oh, she smoked against cancer. Why did she? No, she said she holds nothing against anybody. She's lived. She can't even remember what. She doesn't remember. Offense free. And that also ties into what I heard Dodie Austin say this week. She said, okay, apart from reading the scriptures 10, 2, and 6 every day, the second thing she did that she believed that attracted healing was she called everybody. No, she tried to write everybody she felt she might have offended. And say, I forgive you. If there's anything I've done to you to offend you, please forgive me. Offense free. So people are thinking, offense free. That might be the reason. That might be the reason. God is telling the testimonies. A lady, I think it was around Christmas time. Her Christmas was left because of pain. There was a pain in her body. She went to GP, did everything, said, we can't find what's wrong. But thank God her GP is born again. He said, are you holding anything against anybody? Then she now remembered that year in a meeting, she bumped into her ex-fiance. They broke up because he tried to take the honey before getting to the moon. So that's the reason why they broke up. But she never forgave him. She met him that year in the meeting. And that was the GP said, okay, I'm not going to prescribe anything. Just go home and forgive this person. Say, forgive what? And then I even met him. He had a wife and the wife was pregnant for their third child. Me, I'm still single. Hey. After New Year, she now said, because the doctor did not her GP refused to prescribe her painkillers, but she had to go and get. So I think it's the second or third day in the year, she now said, okay, let me try this. So he said, no. Call the guy's name and say, I release you. And I forgive you for what you've done for me. I just release. And that was it. That was it. She felt like flooding. Because you've been holding it for so long, it came flowing like a flood of river. Now healing came. But the first time she could sleep without painkiller. Without painkiller. So offense free. Offense free. Yes, I know what they did. It should not have happened. And God forgave you. Let them go. Offense free. Yeah. So, the righteousness of God, make it your meditation. Start learning how to eat. I'm here. As I'm saying that to you, I'm saying to myself too. And I'm sure my wife is, yes, you too need to hear it. Yeah. Learn how to eat. And the third one, offense free. Offense free. Offense free. And women and mothers, you have to forgive me. Because it's mostly women that like to hold things You can tell when a woman is holding something. She starts to wrinkle. They say it's childbirth. And yeah, okay, childbearing is part of it. But then, there's, come on. Go and look at a cool plant. You understand what I'm trying to say? Let them go. Amen. Even if it's just for them. And they, okay, yeah, let, okay, God wants me to say, I'll go there. They would now use all that, what's it called? I'm trying to, because you're worth it. What's that advert? You all that age, whatever, makeup, all of that. It doesn't work. Forgive that person. Release that person. And you will see your skin come to you rejuvenated. Amen. Praise God. Have you learned something this morning? Glory be to God. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Father, we give you praise. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you. We thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And after Jesus took those stripes through Peter, you declared, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. But Father, we thank you. Divine healing is ours. We give you all the praise. Divine healing is ours. Divine healing is ours. We lift up our hands. We stretch forth our faith. And we believe we receive the healing our body needs. We believe we receive healing in every cell of our body. We believe we receive healing in every tissue, every organ, and every system in our body. We believe we receive healing in our body. We resist the devil. We resist the devil. We resist any and every form of illness. It's on the cross. Jesus bore it so that we might have access to divine health. We believe we receive healing in our body. We believe we receive the health that Jesus went to Calvary to buy for us. He redeemed us from the curse. He replaced the curse with the blessing. We lift up our hands. We believe we receive the healing that is ours for our bodies in the name of Jesus. 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 And Father, as you promised us in Psalm 91, we live when we are satisfied. Only when we are satisfied. You promised to satisfy us with long life. We believe, receive the grace to live long and end strong. Because divine health is ours. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in the awesome name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Still remain standing as we put your hands together for him. Let's encourage him. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. That's a little volume. I just wanted, we are rounding up. I just wanted to round up on this note. We're going to sing a song and celebrate the fatherhood of God. Hallelujah. You know, you're not just a servant of God. You're a son. You're called to sonship. Sonship means you have rights. Hallelujah. You just don't have responsibility. You have what? You have rights. And what enables your rights in God is righteousness. Hallelujah. He made you his own. Hallelujah. And last week I talked about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Spirit. That is the foundation of everything called victory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ provides you with righteousness and authority. How can you do without that? To win in life, you need righteousness. You are not in relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. And authority. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. The love of the Father means you are accepted. He said, let us come boldly. Hallelujah. I don't beg God. I come to him what?
boldly. He's my Father. Hallelujah.
The communion of the Holy Spirit means that as I have that, as I drink of the fountain of living water by having conversation and involving Him in every part of my life, you know, the Holy Spirit cannot be colonized. He's in each one of you. You have access. As I drink of Him, victory.
Hallelujah.
Victory. So we're going to sing, I'm not a slave to fear. And the only reason why you're no longer a slave to fear is that you have received the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Say, I've received the gift of righteousness by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for it and I took it. You can't pay for it. Hallelujah.